RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A happy Wednesday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glass. We got a great show for you guys coming up today as we are just one more sleep away from the NFL season. We're going to talk about the biggest game of the week in week one, Ravens-Bills. Cordell Woodland standing by, get his thoughts on the rematch from last year's AFC divisional matchup. We'll also look at some of the other games in week one of the NFL slate. We'll look at half of the slate today and the other half of the slate of games tomorrow on the show. Also dive some more into the college football week two slate, give out some more bets there. Chase Kitty going to join us later on in the show, get some of his favorite college football bets. Then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, comments, best bets, anything that you guys have for us, MLB, college football, NFL, anything that's on your mind, US Open, tennis, any bets that you have, chime in at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, on our live stream, on X, and we'll get to your questions throughout the show. And if you guys miss any part of the show today, as always, you can check out every episode on the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get rolling on a Wednesday. Glasses in session. Go to the Glasser guest line. We check in with Cordell Woodland, covers the Orioles and Ravens for 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Give Cordell a follow on X at Cordell Woodland. All right, Cordell, week one, man. Game of the week. Ravens-Bills starting out with a banger on Sunday night. And from a betting perspective on BetMGM, we've seen a lot of line movement here over the last 24 hours. Bills are pretty much short home favorites all throughout the summer. Ravens taking in a bunch of money, and now they are the favorites, minus 115 against the Bills. Do you agree with that line movement? Do you think the Ravens should actually be the team who are a short favorite in this game?
Yeah, I mean, probably so. I mean, I think they're the better of the two teams, and I know that may sound crazy considering how the divisional round went last year in Buffalo. And the Ravens are 0-2 against the Bills in the postseason, but in the regular season, the Ravens are a monster. They're usually a huge juggernaut. Now, look, it's week one. You never know what to expect. I think tackling is going to be an issue around the league, specifically in this game where you have guys like James Cook and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. Like, a lot of these guys are tackling for the first time because they didn't get to play in these preseason games. They're not tackling as much in training camp anymore. So that's something to watch out for. But, you know, the vengeance factor plays a little part in this, I'm sure, for Vegas. And I would imagine that the Ravens are going out to Buffalo, you know, kind of licking their chops with revenge on their mind, considering how last year ended for them on that same field.
Cordell, I want to look at some props in this game and maybe how you think Todd Monken, the Ravens offense, how they attack this Buffalo defense. Last year when the Ravens opened up the season against Kansas City, I found it interesting. Lamar had 16 carries in that game for 122 yards. Felt like he was scrambling just about every drive. Play would break down in the pocket. He'd look off and run. He had zero design runs in that playoff game against the Bills last year. And with it being week one, he's probably as fresh and as healthy as he's going to be all year, even though, you know, he got stepped on, but it looks like he's going to be okay. Do you think Lamar's going to run a lot in this game? I'm looking at BetMGM. His rushing attempts number is 8.5. The yards is 45.5. There are certain games the Ravens like to run Lamar a lot. There are other games that maybe they like to throw a little bit more. What do you think they do with him in this one? More of a run-heavy game, or you think they look to pass a little bit more?
Oh, no doubt. I think you're going to see Lamar run the ball quite a bit. You mentioned it, 16 carries or 15, whichever one it was in that Chiefs game week one last year. It feels like a playoff game, you know, when you go up against those types of teams, even if it's week one. And so, yeah, I think you are going to see Lamar take off and move quite a bit. Week one, I already talked about how weird it can be with the tackling. I think everything's weird. You know, the timing isn't all the way right. Guys may not be as sharp as they're going to be maybe in like week 6 or 7. So, you know, it's going to be times where Lamar just isn't as patient as he normally is, and he is going to look to take off. But I think that this is going to be one of those games where he feels like he's going to do whatever he needs to do to get a win in this one. So with the scrambles combined with, I would expect there to be more than zero design quarterback runs for him in this game. The Ravens' philosophy is to run the ball, but definitely against this Bills team. They want to run the ball against a team like them that likes to stay in nickel a lot. They're a little undersized. So I think the Ravens are going to try to establish the run game early, and Lamar's going to be a part of that.
We know Derrick Henry's running back number one. He's going to be the focal point of that running back room. But outside of Derrick, Cordell, maybe for people investing in fantasy football this year or even props, you think Keaton Mitchell, Justice Hill, between those two guys, who do you think maybe sees the field more of those two behind Derrick?
Yeah, I would say Justice Hill is probably the most likely guy. Justice Hill really took that third down role by the horns last year. He was so good pass blocking first and foremost. I mean, you think back to that Chiefs game, there you can find clips of Justice Hill blocking Chris Jones by himself, buying Lamar time in the pocket. So they, you know, if you're going to get on the field on third downs as a running back, you have to be able to protect the quarterback. Justice Hill checks that box. He was also really good as a receiver out of the backfield on some of those screens that popped. I can't tell you how many third and longs the Ravens converted last year thanks to Justice Hill, whether it's him blocking, whether it's him catching a screen or a check down pass and turning nothing into something, or him just popping a draw. Justice Hill was electric for them last year, and as good as Keaton looked this summer, I think it's going to be tough for him to fight Justice Hill off for some of those snaps.
We're talking Ravens-Bills here with Cordell Woodland, covers the Orioles and Ravens for 105.7 The Fan. Follow Cordell on X at Cordell Woodland. The receivers in this game, Cordell, very interesting, right? No Isaiah Likely for the Ravens on Sunday night. Mark Andrews returns to the scene of the crime, a game that he'd like to forget last year. Zay Flowers did not play in that playoff game because of injury. He's going to be back in the Rashad Bateman coming off his best year as a pro. If you were to target one of those guys in the prop market, the guy that you think has the best game on Sunday for the Raven receivers, tight ends, who would be the guy you would look at?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think it just depends on what you're looking for, right? If you're doing a receptions prop, I'm probably going more Zay Flowers. Zay is just a target machine. Zay is borderline unguardable one-on-one in space. He's really good in the scramble drill. Lamar does a really good job of finding him. They seem to be in sync. So Zay would probably be the guy I lean to. If you're going receptions, Mark Andrews would be a close second for me. If you want to go touchdowns, it would be Rashad Bateman, because last year Rashad Bateman was that guy. Zay Flowers, throughout the first couple of years of his career, as good as he's been, he doesn't find the end zone a lot. but Rashad Bateman has. He and Mark Andrews both. Obviously, Mark Andrews led all tight ends in touchdown catches last year. Bateman had a career year in touchdown receptions. So those are the two guys that I would look at if you're going touchdowns, yards. I would be split between maybe Mark and Bateman, but those three guys are the main three guys that I feel comfortable targeting in fantasy or prop bets. I mean, I think D-Hop will have a role, but I think it'll be spotty. I think it'll be situational. I don't think you'll be able to look at the box score and be able to tell the type of impact that D-Hop had on the game. He will have his moments, but those three guys are the three guys that you probably should be looking at if you're putting money on them.
Who do you like to win the game on Sunday night, Cordell?
Yeah, man, I got to go Ravens. I still think they're the better team. Regular season Ravens are just a team that few people want to see. But it is week one. They are going out to Buffalo. I'm sure the Bills will be ready. But this Ravens team, I mean, all summer I've said that they look like they could be the best team in football. So not going to stop now before a game is played. I'm going to pick them in Buffalo. It's ironic that the spread is one because I think it's going to be a one-point type of game. I think the Ravens win 28-27, and they end up getting a defensive stop to keep Buffalo out of field goal range in the end. But I do think it'll be a tight game.
Cordell, you keep calling them the regular season Ravens, and you're right. I mean, you know, I know, everybody knows this team's not going to be judged on what they do in the regular season. It's all about what they do in January. As somebody who covers this team, what do you think it's finally going to take for the Ravens to get over the hump this year and win a Super Bowl, which obviously is their ultimate goal?
Well, it's a couple of things, because you never lose because of one, right? Mm-hmm. Number one, defensively, well, both sides, the turnover battle. The Ravens lose the turnover battle in the postseason. They do such a great job of taking care of the ball in the regular season, but you get to the postseason and you're facing these good teams, you can't turn the ball over. Two turnovers is almost a death wish. And, you know, you get to last year, what the Ravens had, the interception thrown by Lamar. He also fumbled. Mark Andrews had the fumble. That's three turnovers, and you force none. You're going to lose that game. So they need to start winning that turnover battle, which means not turning it over as much, and defense actually forcing some turnovers in the postseason. They haven't been able to do that. I also think, and this is going to sound weird, but less is more. I look at how the Ravens lose to the Bills last year. Josh Allen didn't have an MVP-esque game, but he did enough to win. You go back to the AFC Championship game where the Ravens lose to the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes for that second half, the Chiefs didn't even score a point in the second half. But Mahomes was okay with throwing it away. He's okay with punting the ball. He's okay with just not getting a highlight play on every drive. And I think that's what Lamar hopefully has learned. You don't have to be Superman. This team, the way this team is built, it's actually built the best it's been in Lamar's career to where he doesn't have to do everything. So sometimes less is more. It's okay to take a punt on this drive because you got a good defense. It's okay to not go for the home run and settle for maybe a third and three now because you got Derrick Henry behind you. So I think getting out of that mindset of he has to make sports in the top 10 plays or he has to be Superman every game, every play, getting out of that mindset will help his team because they are good enough as a complete unit to win it all.
Cordell, let's hope so, man. Let's hope this is finally the year the Ravens break through. Cordell Woodland, give him a follow on X at Cordell Woodland, covers the Orioles and Ravens for 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Cordell, appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the game Sunday. We'll catch up again soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right, great stuff there. Cordell Woodland, guys, let's keep it rolling here on Send It In.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Look at half of the NFL slate for week one. We have made it. Let's go. Thursday night, Cowboys and Eagles. We'll dive into this game some more tomorrow. This line keeps going up, man. Eagles are +8.5. I don't think we get to 9. I think this is a buy point right here with Dallas at +8.5. They lose by 1 score. We're cashing our ticket. Didn't feel like many people wanted to bet Dallas before the Micah Parsons trade, and certainly nobody wants to bet Dallas after the Micah Parsons trade. Dak tends to play well, though, in the divisional games, and he tends to play pretty well in Philadelphia. Dallas is going into Philly with house money. Absolutely nothing to lose. Big storyline in this game, obviously, is the line of scrimmage. How is Dallas going to stop the run game of Philly, and are they going to be able to protect Dak Prescott, maybe get some running game going against the Eagles as well? That'll be the big question mark, but man, 8.5 points in a divisional matchup. I know Philly's the best team in the NFC, maybe the best team in all of football. I'll have to ride with the Cowboys at +8.5. Would also look at a Dallas team total over 19.5. Well, I think the Cowboys are going to be able to score some points, maybe some garbage points late in the game. Friday night, we got Chiefs and Chargers. Kansas City, a 3-point favorite in Brazil. Total in the game is 45.5. Jim Harbaugh and Andy Reid might be the two best coaches in the NFL. Nobody is better in week one than Jim Harbaugh. A perfect 5-0 against the spread in week one as an NFL head coach. We got a neutral site game. We all know how this is going to play out, don't we? It's going to be close. It's going to come down to the wire, and then Kansas City's probably going to find a way to pull it out in the end. I think Chiefs money line -175 is a good parlay piece this week. A lot of you guys listening to the show, myself included, we're in a lot of these pigskin pools where you have to pick against the spread. If you're getting 3.5 this week in the contest with the Chargers, I would absolutely take the Chargers with the 3.5. But at the current line that we have at BetMGM, -3, stay away, and I would go Chiefs money line in a parlay. On Sunday, we got the Bucs and the Falcons. The Bucs, a 2.5-point favorite against Atlanta. I thought I was going to be on the Falcons leading into this game, but doesn't this line seem a little fishy, right? These two teams always play close games. And obviously, Tampa's going to have a new offensive coordinator, third straight year. Baker's got a new OC. Mecca Ibuka making his first start as a pro. A lot of people expecting big things out of him. But the Falcons' O-line is so beat up right now. And I think that's a big reason the point spread moved up a point. I think anything under a field goal is a good bet with Tampa. So I do like the Bucs at -2.5. Bengals and Browns on Sunday as well. Cincinnati, a 5.5-point favorite against Cleveland. Listen to this stat, which also applies to the Falcons and Bucks game. And I'm actually fading this stat in both of these matchups, but something definitely worth mentioning. Week one divisional home dogs are 10-2 against the spread since 2018, and they're 18-4 against the spread since 2012. I'll say that one more time. 10-2 against the spread since 2018, 18-4 against the spread since 2012. If you blindly just take divisional home dogs in week one, oddly enough, I like the Bucks, and I also like the Bengals -5.5 against Cleveland. I think a lot of smart people, a lot of sharps are going to be on the Browns in this game, and it makes a lot of sense. For the stat that I just said, Burrow's 1-9 straight up, 3-7 against the spread in the first couple weeks throughout his NFL career. The Bengals start slow. We all know this. Burrow usually does not play well against the Browns, and he normally does not play well against Cleveland. But sometimes we build up a narrative so much that I actually like to take the other side. And right now, we all know to fade the Bengals early on in the season, but with how they've approached the preseason, making sure they're ready to go for the start of the season, I actually think Cincinnati's the play at -5.5 against the Browns. Dolphins and Colts, Indy -1. It's a pick 'em in that game. Total is at 47. I love the Colts in that matchup. There's going to be a lot of emotion in that building. Lucas Oil Stadium should be rocking. They're honoring Jim Irsay, first game since his passing. And I think Daniel Jones is going to be able to make some plays against maybe the worst secondary in the NFL. Jonathan Taylor running the football, I think, neutralizes that pass rush a little bit. And outside of Dan Campbell, Shane Steichen has been the best in the NFL against the spread in the first couple months of the season. Colts normally cover numbers early on. I like Indianapolis -110. Raiders and Patriots, I love Vegas in this game on the money line. I told you guys the Patriots remind me of the Bears from last year. How about maybe Drake May could be another Justin Fields version? Drake May's won one game in his NFL career. One. That's it. He's 1-9 as a starter. His team was favored in zero games last year. They're favored in 11 games this year. I just think the bump for the Patriots, for Drake May, it's way too much. I think the Raiders are the better team. I like Vegas money line against the Patriots. Cardinals and Saints, you guys know I'm on the Saints plus the points, and I take some money line in that game as well. Kyler Murray is 15-17 as a starter when he's a favorite. He's actually a below 500 quarterback when his team is favored. We talked about it all week. Kyler Murray is a terrible bet as a road favorite. The Superdome is going to be rocking for week one. When everybody's 0-0, there's still some hope for the Saints. Maybe they're not going to be as bad as everybody thinks they're going to be. They probably are, but not for week one. I like New Orleans +6.5. And then Steelers and Jets. Pittsburgh was a 2.5-point favorite. Now they're up to 3 with this Elijah Vera Tucker news and the fact that he might need surgery. Looks like he's definitely going to be out week one against Pittsburgh. I just kind of like the under in this game at 38.5. I think both teams are going to have trouble scoring. I also think maybe looking at some field goal kicker props could be the way to go. As long as there's no crazy wins at MetLife, Boswell, Nick Folk props, I think some good options there for Steelers and Jets. All right, let's talk a little college football. Gridiron Glass, some of my favorite plays for college football this weekend. We will start with the favorite that I like the best this week. That's going to be Navy. Lay the 21.5 with Navy against UAB. The Trent Dilfer experiment just is not working in Birmingham right now. They played Alabama State in their first week. They gave up 514 yards of total offense and 202 rushing yards, nearly 5 yards a carry against Alabama State. What do you think that's going to look like when they go up against Navy? I think the midshipmen are going to name their score. I think they run away. Lay the 21.5 with Navy. Also, give me Missouri State +10.5 against Marshall. I took USC, as you guys know, last week, -35.5 against USC. Missouri State gave up 73 points. I think a lot of people are going to see that, and they're going to want no part of them this week. A lot of that, though, is really just about the athletes that USC has. Lincoln Riley is a play caller. They busted about 4 touchdowns for like 60 yards. Marshall is coming off a game against Georgia, and I normally like to fade some of these group of 5 teams that are playing these behemoths out of the SEC, Big Ten. Marshall's probably still feeling the lingering effects from that game going up against all those NFL pros that Georgia has. Keep in mind, they had to bring in 60 new players here during the offseason with their head coach moving on. I like Missouri State +10 against Marshall. My favorite over is going to be LSU, Louisiana Tech over 51.5. LSU, they have a defense all of a sudden, right? We saw it against Clemson. They only gave up 10 points. What a bad spot, though, for LSU. Not only could you have a potential letdown game after Clemson, but you also have a sandwich slash look-ahead spot with the Gators coming into Baton Rouge next week. So LSU's too talented offensively for Louisiana Tech to slow them down, but I do think their defense can give up some points. So I'll take over 51.5 in La Tech and LSU. My favorite under bet this week is going to be Ole Miss and Kentucky under 50.5. Talked about that earlier in the week when it was 52.5. I still like the 50.5. Zach Calzada, Kentucky's quarterback, had 85 yards passing against Toledo last week. Kentucky's got the worst offense in the SEC. Austin Simmons making his first true road start. Did we not see in week one how all these quarterbacks looked when they were making their first true road start, going on the road, playing Power Four teams? I think this is an ugly, sloppy, first to 20, low-scoring game. I'll take under 50.5 Kentucky and Ole Miss. And then finally, my favorite outright winner this week, give me Iowa, plus 130 against Iowa State. Kirk Ferentz owns the Cyclones. He owns Matt Campbell. They've won six straight games in Ames. This will be low-scoring. It'll be close. I think Iowa takes care of business, though. I'll take the Hawkeyes at plus 130. All right, let's check in with our guy, Chase Kitty. Continue talking some college football, dive into a little NFL as well. But Chase, let's start with week one, and let's start with Alabama, right? Probably the biggest storyline out of week one, how they looked against Florida State. Where are you on the Tide? Are you seemingly with everybody else where you think they're cooked, they need to move on from DeBoer? Or do you see maybe some value buying the dip on them in certain markets, potentially?
I cooked. It's all relative. I mean, the win total was 10.5, and they lost one game, and everybody's freaking out. I think Florida State's probably going to be good. So do I said in the offseason on every podcast I was on, the days of Alabama going 11-1, 12-0, and coasting to national championships, not only are they over, they've been over. Like, Saban didn't win a national championship the last 3 or 4 years he was there. The last one was 2020 with Mac Jones. So the idea that they are, oh my God, they're no longer winning national championships, that hasn't been true already. I don't think they're going to be 5-7. I think this is like a mid-pack, good, not great SEC team that played a true road game in week one with a new quarterback and a bunch of new pieces and a team that was pissed off that they went like 2-10 last year in Florida State. So I don't know what was surprising about the result. I never understood why Florida State was that big of a dog. I think, like the media often tends to do, maybe we're overreacting a little bit now to some of the Alabama stuff. I get why Alabama fans are upset, but you don't live in that mansion anymore, man. This is where most of us live most of the time.
Yes, you are. You would be correct, Chase. A lot of my friends are finding that out the hard way. Welcome to the life of other sports fans. What about Texas and Arch Manning? Obviously, his Heisman odds took a big dip. They are no longer the favorites to win the national championship after losing to Ohio State. Where are you on Texas? Because, man, that defense still looks really good. But offensively, do you think they're good enough to potentially win it all?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, Arch Manning's not going to look like that every game. It was a rough start. I don't think anybody says it wasn't a rough start. I think he can be better. I think Texas is still going to be there near the top of the SEC. So I think there are ways to buy the dip in the futures market. I would be careful with the Arch Manning Heisman stuff. And it's the same guidance I gave in the offseason, right? His last name is Manning, so the expectations for him are through the roof. Mm-hmm. The upside of that is that if he plays up to those expectations, nobody can beat him, right? There is no way to beat a Manning that looks like a Manning in this market. But the downside is you're going to have to pay top dollar for somebody that is almost definitely going to fall short of those expectations. Even buying him at his buy point this week at 16-1, I think is last where I saw the number. Even there, you're not getting the best of a commodity right now that's seen as damaged goods after that Ohio State game.
Chase, I'll leave it open-ended to you, my friend. Any other big takeaways week one? Any teams disappointed you were impressed with? Maybe looking ahead for the rest of the season, any major takeaways for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious because they played the big games, but I was impressed by what LSU and Ohio State and to a lesser extent Miami were able to do against really good teams. I talked a lot in the offseason about Ohio State losing the 15 draft picks. That defense still looks really good. It still looks championship caliber. I still want to see what they do in big games against Penn State or like a road game against Illinois this year. But I think that was a pretty big test pass. And I was pretty sold on my no, Ohio State will not make the playoffs dart throw. I think that might be burnt money at this point. And then LSU, I think, really showed me something playing a Clemson team that I think is really good. So I think they are, I think they're for real this year, and I would take them seriously.
Talking college football here with our guy Chase Kitty. Give him a follow on X at Chase A. Kitty, BetMGM writer, joins us each and every Wednesday. All right, Chase, that was week one. Week two gets going here on Friday. Any bets that you've already placed, any games that you like for week two?
I like a lot of the games you talked about. I'm just on different bets. We're not even necessarily opposite sides, just different bets. I like the Cy-Hawk game. I'm on the under, not the Iowa side. I love the Kentucky-Ole Miss game. I'm on Kentucky plus the points. Ole Miss is actually 1-4 straight up, 0-5 against the number in SEC openers under Lane Kiffin. Last four games against Kentucky, 3 points or less. They lost last year as a big double-digit favorite. They lost outright to Kentucky. So I like Kentucky plus the 10 there. I know Calzada didn't look good last week. I don't care. I will take the points and the spot. I think there are a couple other ones you mentioned that I like something else Navy. As well, but I don't have it written down.
Yeah.
I love Navy. You and I are on the same page on Navy. I was sitting here like screaming when you were talking about it. Like, all right, don't need to talk about that one anymore. Friday night, my Dukes are playing in Louisville. This is the best team JMU will have played in 15 years. I know they're very trendy this year. I would lay the number with Louisville. I don't think JMU, this is not 2023. They don't have the talent to play a top level power team like this. So I'm going to get crushed in Harrisonburg for saying it. But it's what I think is the truth. Virginia is an outright dog at NC State, I think is pretty interesting.
Yep.
Ohio plus 3.5 against West Virginia. People are going to look at that West Virginia score and think, wow, they really, really put it on Robert Morris in week one. Rich Rod's back. It was a one score game at halftime, and they ran it up in the second half. That offensive line has problems. The last note I would give, every year I love going against the teams that play in that Monday night week one game because the turnaround is so short. So I don't mean to pile on North Carolina, but Charlotte plus 13.5 is one I'm going to take a hard look at just because they have basically 3.5 days to prep for a game.
I like that. Makes a lot of sense. Great stuff there from Chase. Reed Phillips had a question in the chat about that Kentucky-Ole Miss game, and I agree with you. I also like Kentucky plus the points. I think that's a great bet. Chase, in about 20 seconds, NFL favorite bet or two that you have for week one.
Giants plus the 6. Really, I'm on a lot of dogs this week. It's question all the assumptions that make favorites into favorites, right? So Giants plus the 6 I think is interesting. I like the Texans and the Falcons too, just because I think the Bucs and the Rams aren't super healthy right now. So I don't know that you're betting on the better team, but week one you might be getting the better team plus the points in both cases.
All right, great stuff as always. Chase Kitty, give him a follow on X at Chase A Kitty. Bet MGM writer Chase. We'll see you again next Wednesday, man. Appreciate it.
Yep, talk next week, PJ.
All right, great stuff there from Chase, guys. Promo from our friends at Bet MGM, an MLB Parlay Boost token. Swing big on your next MLB Parlay. Use this Parlay Boost token to score a bigger payout if your baseball parlay hits. Make it legendary with Bet MGM. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly. All right, guys, let's get into our favorite plays of the day. Wilmer Flores is going to be our pick and going streaking today, going up against German Marquez and the Rockies. Wilmer, 6-for-14 in his career against Marquez. So we'll take him today out at Coors Field to get a base hit. Prop lock, how about a little U.S. Open tennis for the people? Naomi Osaka. You guys, I really think Osaka is going to win the U.S. Open on the women's side. There's still some 5-to-1s, 6-to-1s out there. She's smiling. She feels good. She looks like the old Osaka that was winning majors. And I think she's going to win in straight sets tonight against Muchova. So I like Osaka straight sets, -110. But I think she's worth a flyer to win the U.S. Open as well. Dog of the day, we're getting degenerate. We're going Missouri State +10 against Marshall. Marshall coming off against the game against Georgia. I think Missouri State, I think they're going to be able to score some points, maybe even win that game. And then my best bet, give me San Diego tonight. Lay the run line against the Orioles. Nestor Cortez against Cade Povich. When Nestor would go against the O's when he was pitching for the Yankees, normally pitched pretty well. Orioles are looking for the sweep today. I don't think that's going to happen. I like San Diego on the run line. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Thanks again to Cordell Woodland, Chase Kitty for joining us today on the show. Check out the Send It In podcast if you miss any of the show today. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.